Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
And this is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, Proper 27, Pentecost 25, Year B. We finish Ruth's story in the Old Testament, spend some time with Jesus as the perfect sacrifice in Hebrews, and watch a widow give everything she has in Mark's Gospel. It seems like God blesses those folks who step out in faith. We're here to help you step out of the ordinary sermon with some multiple intelligence, illustrations, and special effects.
We've established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
Once again, before we get started, just wanted to make a note that we're planning on making a little change in the format when we turn over the new liturgical year at the end of November.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, just a couple weeks here.
Dang.
So,
3 years down.
For 3 years, we've been at this, and we've made it the whole way through the cycle here, from C to B.
We did cab.
We did. And so as we start the second time through, we're looking to change it up a little bit. Instead of just doing as many of the intelligences each week for each text as we can, we're going to focus on just a couple of them each week. And in some sense, we'll be forcing ourselves into being creative about those particular ones, but we're going to see how that works. We'd love to hear your feedback on that, if you think that that's a good idea, if you think it's going to work, or if you just want to wait and see, let us know what you think about it, either way, because we want to try something. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay, let's go on. So, for Year B, Ordinary 32, the Old Testament lesson is Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then jumping all the way down to chapter 4, verses 13 to 17.
Skips all the stuff.
All the fun stuff. So the little bit in chapter 3 is that Ruth has met Boaz and found him to be eligible. And so Naomi is giving her...
Bing! Got a plan here.
Naomi is giving her advice on how to court him, as it were, or get him to court her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just a little bit there, and then skipping all the details of how it all comes to be. And there's so much intrigue there and so many opportunities for everything to come apart, but we just skip right over that and come down to 4:13. Boaz decided to marry her, and so there
and
it is.
All works out,
And all's well that ends well.
Wrapped
and,
up in a wonderful bow with the ancestry of David, right there
right.
at the end.
So Naomi,
probably the point,
who thought of herself as bitter, it becomes blessed. So, all right, we're going to take a look at several of the intelligences here, actually. We've got several illustrations in WordSmart. We have a special effect in iSmart, illustration in MathSmart, BodySmart, MusicSmart, NatureSmart, and PeopleSmart. So, my dear wife, Molly.
Okay, beginning with Word, We're looking at verse 14, where the women say to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin. May his name be renowned in Israel," which is essentially, may his name be proclaimed, may his name be made famous. So for an illustration, you might want to think, what makes for fame? Essentially, fame is people talking about somebody. Who gets talked about and why? Also, the lectionary selection itself, it tells a story. It's like, you know, when you start telling a story and you realize there are parts of the story that maybe some people in the room ought not to hear. So, for instance, a kid walks in and you start saying, oh, and then other things happened and it all ended happily. It's sort of like the Seinfeld episode with yada, yada, yada.
And we have a link for that.
Yes, we have a link to that. Well, is it the whole episode or no, is it just parts? It's just the yada, yada,
just
yada parts.
A couple scenes with the yada, yada.
Okay.
Some of which probably would not be appropriate for church.
So yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Also, this part of the story, these two chapters and the big chunk that's taken out, has overtones of a fairy tale where the heroine and the prince are brought together in unexpected circumstances, very often as predicted by an older, wiser companion. So we have a little bit of a trope going on there. And finally, this particular story of Ruth and Naomi is, according to Howard Wallace, and we have a link to his commentary, it's not just a tale of loyalty from the past, but one of hope for the future of Israel. The whole idea there of naming David in the line of people who come after Obed. So this type of story can really only be told in retrospect. While it's happening, the outcome is not entirely clear. So you might want to think, does your congregation have any kinds of stories that are similar? Something was, you can look back and say, oh, this happened and this happened, and we have this wonderful story of redemption and salvation. But for the people who were involved at the time, they were like, we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is completely, we don't know. So it's really stepping out in faith in a lot of ways.
For iSmart, this story is part of the art of Jesus' ancestry that is incorporated into the Sistine Chapel ceiling. And we were actually just studying this a couple weeks ago with our Presbyterian women. And so we have a link for you here that gets you to a picture of this scene with
some commentary from Art and Faith Matters, blog post.
There we go. So go ahead and take a look at that. It's interesting that Ruth and Naomi and company are remembered there in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Also at Art and Faith Matters, if you follow that particular link, which we will have in the show notes at www.morethanhearing.org, if you follow that, you can also find a link to the Art and Faith Matters Facebook page, which has some information for the Mark passage for this week.
Okay.
So, two birds with one stone.
There you go. Going on to MathSmart, we have a link for you to an article at Old Testament Lectionary. And if you scroll down, there's a heading marked Laws, Social Traditions. And you can see there some of the legalities present in this story, particularly in the part that is
excised.
But you'll want to know for background if you're going to be preaching on this. You might even pull in some of those bits of the story. Anyway, some of the things that we don't get because of the cultural differences, you can find at that link. Mm-hmm. So we put this in MathSmart for the logic of the legalities and such, but there's also a lot of people smart there for the social and societal elements.
Mm-hmm. For Body Smart, we're going back to the beginning of the story of Ruth because there is no bread in Bethlehem, which is the house of bread. There's no bread in the house of bread. And so the whole story, parts of the story that are excised are also some mentions of bread and food and grain and threshing. So we have a link to Bread for the World with some information about what hunger really is. It's not just feeling kind of empty and wanting to eat something. It's everything. It's political, it's social, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's everything. And we also have another link to some nutrition facts about barley, the particular grain that is mentioned in this story, the part that's cut out. But if you use it.
Lots of illustrations for the things that aren't there.
Right, right. But if you choose to use it, there you go.
There you go. For Music Smart, we have a song from the Tizé community. It's called Nada de Turbe, Nothing Will Disturb. And this would be a good response to your message, because for those who seek the Lord, it says nothing will disturb you and nothing can overcome you. And so that's
God alone can fill.
Right. So that goes along pretty well, we think, with the passage here. Mm-hmm. We've got the words in one link and the music in another, so you can take a look.
For Nature Smart, very quickly, we have an illustration that this story is evidence of King David's mixed ancestry, but it's also the nature of that ancestor. This ancestor is someone who's trustworthy and loyal. So maybe we could, as an illustration, this is kind of an ancient 23andMe, sort of a proof of someone's ancestry and what kind of people they were. There was some challenge.
23andMe being the DNA testing.
Being the DNA testing, right. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to say that part. Yes. So it's kind of an ancient genetic proving. We also have a link to 23andMe, and there is a particular story in there about a guy named Jordan that you might find interesting. We have this here in nature because of the DNA and the way that helps identify you and anchor you to a particular place and a particular people. But we also think it has some people overtones because of the relationships.
Speaking of people, the 2018 Netflix production of Lost in Space. Now, if you remember the 1960s version, that got really campy and really bad pretty fast. But this is really good stuff. I just finished watching the first season. There are several characters in the last couple of episodes in particular that suggest that if they had made a different choice at one point, then everything would have gone better. So everything is their fault.
Will particularly wallowing in that.
But it turns out, of course, that if they had not done that thing, if they had not made that particular choice, then other things wouldn't have happened that actually end up working things together for good. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, it would have been worse if they hadn't done the thing that they think made things worse. Mm-hmm. So there's some of that that goes on in this story, too. Not that Naomi and Ruth have made bad choices that got them into this predicament in the first place, but being in a bad situation, the choices that they then make and the choices of the other people around them.
Right. Yeah, particularly that grayed out part. Naomi and Ruth make some choices about Boaz, and Boaz could have chosen to do completely different.
Right.
He did not have to make the choice that he did. He had a choice.
Yeah. So throughout the story, the choices made in response to a bad situation lead ultimately to a good result. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a straight line. But it echoes, it rhymes, as they say. Okay, let's go on.
The epistle lesson for year B, Ordinary 32, is from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. Just a little tiny bit here, but we did manage to find some stuff for it. The author is saying, "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands." Goes on to talk about him, again, talk about him being better than the high priest because he does not have to suffer again and again. He appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by sacrifice of himself. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So we have an illustration for iSmart. We have an illustration for MathSmart. We have an illustration for NatureSmart. And we have both for PeopleSmart. So we'll start with I.
Okay, looking at verse 24, that Christ didn't enter the sanctuary made with human hands, a mere copy, but entered heaven itself. So got to thinking about that sort of experience of entering a copy of the real thing and thought about virtual reality. If you're not familiar with virtual reality, it is a simulated space that you can enter electronically and interact with the different elements that are there through the wonders of modern computer tech. And you get to be in places that you can't actually get to, maybe, or that are not even real places. But it's all just a simulation, and as sometimes the effects are really blocky and kind of 8-bit, you know, and kind of laggy and chunky and such. But you still get in your brain, you still get the experience of being in this environment. So in spite of all of that. Being in the real place, of course, would be much, much better. And that's kind of what we're going for here, is that Jesus doesn't enter the copy of heaven, which was the temple, but he enters the real thing. So we have a couple of links about virtual reality. There's one that gives you a definition. There's another that is for the Virtual Reality Society in the UK. So lots of information about it there. And then a demo of a fellow who's showing off some VR software for mining, planning new mines and things. And so there are lots of things out there that you can take a look at.
We're kind of continuing with virtual reality for MathSmart, still sticking with verse 24, and thinking about it in terms this way, the difference in competency between Jesus and the regular priests is like the difference between an actual jet pilot and someone who's playing a flight simulator on a game console. We have a clip. Careful. there are some... surprised language. Actually, I was thinking about, where was it that you and I did that flight simulator? Was that this summer at the Space Museum in Alamogordo in New Mexico? Remember we went to the Space Museum? And I think we had it. Was that there?
No.
Or was it someplace else?
It was someplace else.
Where there was that? We had an opportunity to try to land something. Weren't we trying to land the...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we were trying to land the shuttle.
Yeah,
so they had this it wasn't quite, you know, you put on the goggles and everything, but there was a flight simulator.
Yeah.
And if you kept everything lined up properly, you wouldn't crash.
Right.
So, yeah, there was...
Especially on the novice setting.
Yeah. So there was a little bit of language with that one, too.
Yes. And then there was the one that I did in Los Angeles.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
That was...
That one actually moved you. You actually got in the capsule.
A flight sim where you're in a race in a biplane, and the simulator capsule rotates in space. So I spent a good bit of the time upside down, hanging from the straps. So
I'm glad I wasn't with you on that.
Yes,
one. There would have been a lot more than language.
Oh, so much language. Yeah.
Anyway, so continuing on with a MathSmart illustration, we're looking at verses 25 and 26 about Jesus not needing to offer himself again and again and again the way the high priests do. He just did it once and we're all done. It's kind of the difference between monthly dues and a lifetime membership. So you kind of have that comparison there of commitment in numbers. And then again, as with last week, this particular passage compares the lesser to the greater, that logical argumentation a fortiori. if the lesser is good, the greater is better. If the priest making an annual entrance into the temple with animal blood is good, Christ making an internal entrance into the true temple in heaven with his own blood is eternally better. And since we're talking about sacrifices with animal blood, there I came across a Christian webpage that talks about animal sacrifice in a remote location in Ghana. There are some pictures of the shrines that are set up, and there's no actual pictures of the sacrifice. There's just kind of some pictures of the way this particular village has shrines everywhere and some of the decoration that they do. Some of the shrines are decorated with the bones of the animals they've sacrificed, and some of them are decorated with the blood that they've used to sacrifice. So we put that in Nature Smart because, well, animals, I guess. and the idea that in sacrificing animals, there is a sense that blood is being offered as a way to transact a relation, an arrangement with a local deity. Mm-hmm.
Going on to People Smart, we stay with that theme. We have a quote here from Bill Loader, who is a professor of New Testament in down there in Australia. And he wrote, "People had often reflected on the power which seems to flow from an innocent life, especially one that was snuffed out prematurely. It is as though there is a surplus of goodness which bursts the bounds of that person's life and flows on beyond their lifetime. People not only grieved over the death of genuinely good people, they also sensed a benefit, a blessing, which came from such a death. Martyrs lost everything, but somehow they gained something and gave something to others who would come after them. Some people compared their deaths to sacrifices, which were also believed to release life for others." So going on to think about that idea of the sacrifice of one life for others, the contemporary sacrifice...
Well, we don't really have a cultic or a worship kind of understanding of that. We talk right. about it when we do communion, but it's kind of academic and sort of
cerebral.
Yeah,
since we don't do a lot of blood sacrifice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and grape juice just doesn't really come close. Anyway,
so sweet,
right? But, so I'm sorry I interrupted the contemporary.
That's
we
fine.
Do have a contemporary.
We do have some contemporary sense of sacrifice, mm-hmm. not blood sacrifice, but those who put their lives on the line for the safety of others. Mm-hmm. So law enforcement, firefighters, other first responders, soldiers in particular come to mind. People who sign up for risky work, taking the chance that what they do in service for others may take their own lives.
Mm-hmm. Or at least impact them dramatically.
Yeah, yeah. So that would be the illustration. Then for special effect, you could do some group discussion around that, invite your folks to talk with each other about ways in which those groups that we were just talking about offer themselves on behalf of others. And are there other groups maybe that give similar sacrifice that we didn't have on the list? I don't know, teachers.
Parents,
right? Kind of going on with that, do you have anyone in any of those categories in your congregation that you could invite to come and talk about their choices of offering themselves in that way, of choosing that profession where their life would be at risk? And would they be willing to speak about the challenge of doing what they do in the face of those risks? And how might you as a congregation then respond with thanks for these groups and ultimately to Christ?
Let's go on.
The gospel lesson for year B, Ordinary 32, is Mark 12, verses 38 to 44. Here Jesus is decrying the scribes who show off publicly for their own benefit, and who, it says, like the best seats in and places of honor in various places, but of particular note, they devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearances offer long prayers. So he condemns them for mm-hmm. such behaviors. Then they sit down, he and the disciples sit down to watch what's going on at the temple as people give their offerings in the treasury. And we all know this story pretty well, that the most folks are going on and bringing in
large sums
out of their abundance, but one widow gives all that she has with her two coins. And so Jesus lifts her up in stark contrast to the scribes who devour widows' houses. So if they didn't do that, maybe she'd have more to live on.
Mm.
So, a little social justice. It's not just a stewardship sermon. Okay, so we've got an iSmart special effect, Math Smart illustration, a little Music Smart illustration-y, special effect-y thing, some people Smart illustration, and both for Self Smart. Molly? iSmart, please.
Okay. Well, we're looking at verses 43 and 44 for this particular iSmart special effect, where Jesus is comparing and contrasting the offering of the wealthy and other people and this widow who has put in everything she has to live on. So we haven't used the old balance scales for a while, so this might be a really good place to do it. We have a Google search for a balance scale do-it-yourself, so go ahead and take a look at that link at our show notes so you can see how you can construct one of these things. And then for what to do, demonstrate the balance between a large amount of available cash, like a big bag of coins, a big stack of bills, real or simulated, and then a large contribution, which is a significant subset of that available cash. So then take them all off and then use two coins on one side, indicating all that the woman possessed, and then move those to the contribution side. So you're making the scale wobble, wobble, wobble a little bit. So you have a visual representation of what Jesus has seen and what he's commenting on.
Yeah. So the way that would work out with a large contribution from the large sum would still be larger.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, but mm-hmm. for her, it would totally shift the scale.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Going on with that same idea in Math Smart in verses 43, 44, consider the differences between progressive, regressive, and proportional tax structures, as described at a link that we have for you from a website called investopedia.com. And it just talks about how that works, that progressive is that the more you make, the more taxes you pay.
Mm-hmm.
Regressive is the less you make, the more taxes you pay. And proportional is everybody pays the same percentage.
Mm.
So
The flat tax,
as it were. So scripture doesn't say here that they're paying a tax at the temple. It's not clear if it's a tax or an offering, but the idea of the percentage and progressive regressive nature of it is what we're going for here. So we put it in math because of percentages and things. Going on to Music Smart, we just have here a link to a video for you. It's a musical piece, instrumental, but with a lot of visual imagery as it works through this passage. Mm-hmm. So the text of the passage comes up on the screen with a lot of different imagery, and the music goes along with it. So it's kind of neat. And that's why it's kind of illustration special effect-y. Because you could show it. I think you could show it. And this comes from Art and... No, the other one.
The Work of the People.
So it's called Two Copper Coins at theworkofthepeople.com. And they have all kinds of interesting liturgical stuff there that you can take a look at.
For PeopleSmart, the scribes are being described here as very much like those villains in old Western melodramas. That bad guy with a swirly mustache who demanded an exorbitant rent from a helpless homesteader damsel, for example. We have a couple different links to those kinds of melodramas.
You must pay the rent.
I can't pay the rent.
You must pay the rent.
I can't pay the rent. I'll pay the rent. My hero. Curses foiled again.
That is exactly the script. Did you read it?
No, but I've seen it.
Yeah, it's exactly that. So we have a link to that script.
Okay.
For SelfSmart, going back to Bill Loader again, he talks a little bit here, and we've got a link in the worksheet for you at morethanhearing.org. Go ahead and click on that. Come on. Click on it. It's good stuff. Anyway, a couple links about self-aggrandizement and its effect on a person, the corrupting nature of what happens there, and that the scribes exploit and grab in their spiritual poverty, but she in her poverty has a wealth of generosity. That's a nice turn. I like that.
That could be something you could use on the scales.
There you go. Nice. Yeah. Thanks. So there's a good connection with that. So going along with that, we have some statements about self-aggrandizing behavior from a website called Out of the Fog, which is a nonprofit support group for people who have loved ones with personality disorders. And self-aggrandizing is one of those. So we've got a quote on the worksheet, an extended quote, so we won't read it here, but it talks about some of the characteristics psychologically of narcissism and self-aggrandizement. So the emotional impact on that and what drives it. And very often there's some physiological things they think maybe that their brains are not connecting.
They're wired
to all the things that they need, and that they tend to be afraid of their social standing. And so they build themselves up artificially. So take a look at that. That's all by way of illustration and illustrating what Jesus seems to be saying about the scribes. All right, so that's the connection there. Going on for special effect, Jesus is not big on the scribes' self-aggrandizing behavior, as we've just been saying. So take time to reflect on your own relationships this week, and you can invite your folks to do this, right? So we have a series of thoughts for you here. Do you know anyone who behaves like the scribes are described here in these verses? Are you one of them? How does Jesus' attitude toward them color your attitude toward them? And even though he is not impressed by their actions and is very concerned with how it is detrimental to the vulnerable, Jesus dies for them too. So how does this affect the way that you consider the people that you know? And are you someone who exhibits self-aggrandizing tendencies? And what do you fear? Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea you liked even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS. Or point your podcasting software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. Help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes Store, and of course, you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. In the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
Try again. sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.